You're listening to Irish Sports Talk. Hello, Notre Dame fans, and welcome to Irish Sports Talk. This is episode 417, and we're here to preview Notre Dame's matchup with North Carolina. Randall's here as well. Randall, how's it going?
It's going great.
We just got off the phone with Jones Angel. He is has a podcast covering and is the play-by-play announcer for North Carolina's football and basketball games. And so we'll be releasing that podcast tomorrow afternoon. And definitely give that a listen. Interesting stuff about the North Carolina football team and a little more in-depth about some of their where they're at as far as the offense and the defense. But we are here to talk about this matchup, the two of us. So, Randall, first question that I do want to ask, and we'll give our score predictions at the end, including how we think the game's going to go. But the question that I want to ask and have answered is, who is North Carolina? And we can start by going through some of the numbers. They're a 1-4 football team. They are a team that had a chance to win all of their games, and they led in four of the five in the fourth quarter, winning one of those and then losing last week to Georgia Tech. They are averaging 28 points per game on offense and giving up 33 points per game. And I think where Notre Dame fans will be most optimistic about this matchup is in the amount of yards that North Carolina gives up on the ground. They gave up over 400 yards to Georgia Tech,
which is a triple option team, so we'll give them that.
Yeah, running team. But they're averaging giving up over 220 yards per game. So it wasn't just against Georgia Tech where they gave up a lot of yards on the ground. And then passing-wise, they're giving up about the same as Notre Dame. They're giving up 245. Notre Dame's giving up 241 passing yards per game. The spread in this game, we mentioned it on Monday's podcast, started out at 17 points, and it is down to 14 points now. And I think that's primarily due to Brandon Wimbush. And we'll talk about Brandon and the Notre Dame football team when we go through the different position groups for Notre Dame. But factoring in Brandon, I guess I'm not surprised that it dropped by several points.
Well, yeah, that's true. I'm sure that's why it dropped. But the thing is, Notre Dame Brian Kelly has a very good record with the freshman or redshirt freshman quarterback starting. He's 23-4 doing it at Notre Dame. And he's actually, 17-0 against unranked opponents in that stat. So North Carolina's unranked. So basically, starting Ian Book would guarantee a win. But the odds maker did not factor that in.
Actually, I bet they did.
No, they probably did.
No, Notre Dame is definitely better with Brandon Wimbush against North Carolina, but because they're going to be relying on their running game either way, I do think that Notre Dame is going to put away North Carolina State and keep them at bay for the whole game. I don't think this is going to end up being a close game, regardless who's at quarterback.
Yeah, and kind of with that running game, throw us out there, you know, Notre Dame was down to one scholarship running back last week. It looks like they're all ready to go. And C.J. Holmes, the freshman, it sounds like he might travel with the team. He's been... I think it was a Notre Dame on Snapchat. He said that, hey, he's excited. He said, watch for his number 16 on Saturday. So it sounds like he will travel with the team, and they are, you know, if they need him, there's your fifth guy. Well, we never thought we'd get that far, but last week we were very close. So for his sake, I'd want him to play, but at the same time, I'd rather not see him because there's no reason to, and try to say that you're, well, I didn't even know that. If the running back's good, they're not going to stay around for 4 years. So,
yeah.
So saying that, you know, maybe give them a chance to run the ball.
Their quarterback, they have a redshirt freshman quarterback, and he has somewhat similar numbers to what Brandon Wimbush does. He has more passing yards, not quite as few touchdowns. He's passed for 900, almost 1,000 yards. He has 5 touchdowns, 2 picks to Brandon Wimbush, 780 yards, 6 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions. When we were talking to Jones, he did mention that Surratt, we'll say that's how we pronounce his name, is a dual-threat quarterback, but still trying to figure it out a little bit. And where Brandon Wimbush has been very, very effective in running the football and has had his struggles in the passing game, Surratt is definitely on the other side, where he's been more effective passing, and he has run the ball, but he needs to continue to develop in the running game.
Yeah, and we talked about there, I mean, the big thing with North Carolina is all the injuries that they've had. They lost 7 starters, and quite a few of them are from the offensive side of the ball. So, you know, like we said, was against Georgia, I think, when, well, different team. You can have a good receivers, but if the quarterback can't give them the ball, it doesn't matter. But here you got a pretty good quarterback, but it looks like they're, you know, with all the rotation, with injured players and stuff, he's struggling to get them the ball because of their inexperience.
All right. Offensively, did you want to talk? Elijah Hood is no longer with the team. I just thought I'd see his name forever on the North Carolina stat sheet, but I guess he left early for the NFL, and I don't even know if he got drafted or if he's with a team.
Well, it's good. He probably left just so he wouldn't have to play against Notre Dame this year. So we should ask him that. But he was a 5-star quarterback that had committed. Running back that had been committed to Notre Dame. And I remember chatting with him a little bit. I mean, it seemed like he would be definitely coming to Notre Dame, but something happened and he switched. He is with on the practice squad for the Oakland Raiders, I believe. I think he's still there. That's the last I had heard. So he's on the practice squad. But yeah, and kind of going with the passing game, I think maybe one reason they're even better at that is because, you know, they haven't been playing to catch up. They've led in the first 4 games. They led going into the fourth quarter. So it sounds like they have some of the issues Notre Dame had last year, having a lead and then giving it up. Obviously, they didn't against Georgia Tech last week. But, you know, I'm sure they throw a lot in the fourth quarter when they lose that lead. And I'm guessing they'll be throwing a lot against Notre Dame because they won't have the lead either.
Yeah, I do think you're right on that.
One thing Jones mentioned was that they do have quite a few 3 and outs. But their coach is an offensive guy, so I mean, he's offense first, so at some point, you know, things are going to click. And it seems like things usually click against Notre Dame
They have been better at home as far as those 3 and outs. On the road, I had it right here in front of me. On the, as far as their offense, yes. I was looking at their defense, my bad.
Their defense is better at home?
Their defense is worse at home.
Oh, well, that's good. That's definitely good.
The conversion rate against their defense is 47% at home and 34% away, or a neutral or away.
Well, keep reading off more stats like that.
But their offensive third down is pretty much the same. It's 31%, 25%. So it is bad. Their third down offense is bad. And Notre Dame's been very effective, especially when it's in third and long, and they can put their get Dalen Hayes and Julian Okorah out there on their third down package. Very effective at getting after the quarterback.
Yeah. Last thing I got for the offense, their wide receiver, Anthony Ratcliffe Williams, was a quarterback, came as a quarterback, but is now wide receiver. He is also their return man, and sounds like he's been doing pretty good at that. So that's one guy you will see quite a bit in the return game and on offense.
All right. On defense, Randall, we talked a little bit about how their running game or their rush defense is pretty bad, give up a ton of yards. But did you have more that you wanted to say about the North Carolina defense?
Well, Temple is ranked 108th in the country against the run. And what was the final? Notre Dame had 400-some yards against them. Good news is North Carolina is ranked at 109. So, you know, they obviously faced triple option team last week in Georgia Tech, which Navy makes Notre Dame stats look worse as well when Notre Dame plays them. But that's good news for Notre Dame, especially with not knowing what's going to happen at quarterback. And the running backs are all healthy and ready to go. And they don't give up. UNC doesn't give up a lot of runs up the middle, but they have been struggling setting the edge. And so I think Josh Adams will have some success. He'll have a long run against, at least one against this team.
All right. You ready to talk about, go through the press conference and then Notre Dame's position groups?
Yeah.
All right, let's start with the offense, and the big topic has been the quarterback, Brandon Wimbush. You know, there was rumors about him being at a bar, getting hurt there, and Brian Kelly pretty much put all those rumors, said Brandon pretty much put those rumors to sleep. I'm not saying that 100%, nothing happened outside of football, but it doesn't sound like anything fishy happened.
Yeah, you weren't quite so sure at the beginning, Ruben.
I wasn't so sure because of the way Brian Kelly denounced those rumors, because he kind of answered it like a politician would, by saying that Brandon Wimbush, this is what Brandon Wimbush told him, and he has no reason to not believe what Brandon Wimbush told him. And it was just kind of, instead of just coming out and saying nothing happened, it was just repercussions from the game, and some it happens frequently, and with the adrenaline going through your body, you just sometimes don't feel it until later that evening or the next day.
Yeah, he did say he went out, he didn't say where, but then felt discomfort in his foot and came back, and they put a boot on it. I think a lot of the rumors about being at a party or something happening is because there obviously was a big party. If you follow any of the players on Snapchat, they had quite a few snaps about it, and it even looked like they might have been in a club. I mean, they were out partying. And so, you know, it's just easy to think that if they're out doing that, you know, somebody gets hurt, gets in a fight, something like that. And so I kind of think that's where a lot of those rumors came from.
Right from the beginning, I still said when we were talking about it that I don't even know why would it matter if he was whatever. Getting in a fight is different than just maybe goofing around and hurting it. But why does it even matter if he stepped wrong, stepped down some stairs and hurt himself a little bit at a party, or if it was in the football game? I mean, it doesn't really matter. What does matter is that it's not anything serious. I do think that he'll play on Saturday.
Yeah, well, Brian Kelly mentioned that they actually have the players check in with them on Sunday afternoon around 2, I think he said 2 o'clock, but just to make sure they're okay, because just like Brian Wimbush says, it's a soft tissue injury, you know, that everything came back clear. It's just, you do, when you're in the game, adrenaline covers a lot of things. You know, there's been guys that have played with torn ACLs.
Drew Tranquil.
Yeah. So, you know, once that all kind of goes away, you would have thought playing Miami and being ahead by that far, the adrenaline would have disappeared at halftime. But it's still football, and, you know, maybe you don't think about it. Brandon Wimbush doesn't have time to think about his mechanics during the game. So yeah, I mean, he was wearing a boot. Kind of through all this, you know, with the injuries, question that came up for Brian Kelly was the one ankle brace that they've been wearing. Tony Jones had it. I can't remember him wearing it during the game. But anyways, reading an article on that, I hadn't realized there was it was such a big deal. I mean, a guy at Notre Dame, what's his name? He works with the training staff. Here, I got it right here.
Like one of the medical staff?
Yeah. Bean. Shoot, I don't have his name. Sorry, I don't have his name right here. He's the Notre Dame associate athletic trainer, Mike Bean. He actually made this brace, and there's a picture of it, Ruben. And Notre Dame has the patent on it, and other teams are actually starting to use it. And in the article, they even talk about an old lady that started using it that was having issues with her balance and couldn't walk very good, and it totally helped her. You wear it over your shoe. And the big thing, he said he came up with this brace because he got tired of Lou Holtz and Brian Kelly yelling at him about not getting a player back into the game, you know, being out for a couple with a high ankle sprain. They wanted to be able, those guys, you know, you could tape up their ankles, do different stuff like that, but it wasn't the same. Brian Kelly said he's never seen anything like that. Usually the sprain, you know, that Tony Jones had, they're out for a couple days.
No, for 3 or 4 weeks.
Yes, 3 or 4 weeks. Tony Jones was able to go in again.
Yeah.
With this brace.
Wait, so you're saying that Tony Jones Jr. was wearing this brace to play?
No, I don't remember seeing. I'd have to go back. I just looked at it this afternoon. I didn't have a chance. I don't think he was.
But do they wear it? You're saying they could wear it to play or when they're going through practice and throughout the.
I understood it as they could wear it to play. I mean, it's just like a knee brace. But Notre Dame actually owns the patent for it. There's a dozen other college teams that are using it. Purdue does. Florida State are a couple of the teams. They didn't mention the name, but there's 5 professional football teams that have also bought into this unique brace, which fits outside the cleat for comfort and stability is what it says.
Huh.
So
I don't remember seeing it either.
But the Bruisers who wear these on the fields aren't the only ones to benefit is what it says. So they said it can even help with a sprain, break, or a fracture. And then they said it's helped thousands of people with
soon
MS.
Soon there won't even be anything like an injury.
With MS, Parkinson's, and Alzheimer's.
Oh, come on.
No, as far as like the bat when they have balance issues.
Oh.
What do they call that? They mentioned it when they can't pick up their, they have like drop foot, I think is it called. Older people get it.
I don't know.
I know there's a guy at my dad's church that he has to pick up his foot because basically his toes just drop, so he has to pick it up a lot higher. So he walks kind of high-stepping because, so it's supposed to help with that. But look into it. I hadn't even realized, I didn't know there was anything like
that.
Either. But obviously it's
no
a big
clue.
Deal, and Notre Dame, a guy from Notre Dame is the inventor. But Brian Kelly loves it. And
so what you're saying, with this brace, you feel even more confident that Brandon could play on Saturday.
Well, no, Brian Kelly mentioned this won't necessarily help Brandon.
Okay.
It'll help the running backs.
Okay.
Brandon's is his foot. This is like an ankle, high ankle. This is not for
the
foot.
So this is specific for, for your ankle.
So basically the high ankle sprains that it seems a lot of guys deal with, just those nagging injuries, this would be an answer for that. So, anyways, enough about the brace.
So, do you think Brandon will play on Saturday? From what you've read, that the report that came out, he did light throwing drills on Tuesday and was on the bike a lot. And then I don't know what happened on Wednesday today.
Well, Josh Adams mentioned today that Ian Book was out there with the
snaps.
First team. And was very comfortable out there. And we won't know until Thursday's press conference, honestly. But Brian Kelly mentioned on Tuesday that it was okay for Wimbush to be off on Monday and Tuesday, but he needed to start practicing on Wednesday.
And he did. And
not very much though.
Same report also
right.
said he was full go.
You're right. Yeah.
So,
I mean, Brian Kelly said it just practicing. I guess he didn't say full go. It just practicing on Wednesday. So, I don't know. It's hard to my gut feeling is that he'll play, And then if they get any kind of comfortable lead, we'll see Ian Book. We're going to see Ian Book a lot more than we would have in a different situation if this wouldn't have been happening with Wimbush.
I think you're probably right, but if he is good to go, I feel like this is another game. I do expect Notre Dame to win by a large margin, and this is going to be another game where North Carolina is going to sell out to stop the run, and it's going to give Brandon opportunity to develop in the passing game. So I feel like the more he can play...
Well, here's his chance. If he can't run, maybe this is all Brian Kelly's doing to get him to pass the ball. Maybe, you know, if he does play, there's a bigger chance of him staying in the pocket and making throws instead of trying to take off and run. Maybe it'll help his development.
If that's the case, I feel like that could end up just hindering him more and cause more issues if he's not full go and be able to feel comfortable.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I guess some other concern was that Tuesday's press conference, Brian Kelly said, oh, you know, they took the crutches away from him. And then right after the press conference is over, Brandon Wimbush hobbles in with his crutches. And then today in an ACC teleconference, Brian Kelly was asked about that. And he was like, well, he doesn't need them. The boot is awkward. And so before I saw some stuff about today, I didn't think Wimbush was going to play Saturday. But now I think he will.
Continuing talking about the offense, let's talk about the wide receivers.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a whole lot that really changed on that.
Steverson isn't in the two deep anywhere, but I didn't expect him to be. But I expect him to travel.
He'll travel with the team.
I expect him to travel with the team and to get on the field again.
Yeah, here's something else to add to Wimbush that I forgot about. Brian Kelly has basically told him that he was like, last year I was a bad coach and everybody stuck with me. We're going to stick with you. He started talking about Wimbush being a winner. And you know what I thought? What do you think of when Brian Kelly's talking about a coach or quarterback being a winner?
Tommy Rees. He just wins.
So Wimbush is there at that point. He's a winner. And, even if things would suddenly go south, it'll take a lot to get him out of that starting job, which I don't think that'll happen. I mean, I'm just saying. When I heard that,
is for Ian Book to play one full game, and then immediately fans would be calling for, where's Brandon Wimbush again?
It's still true. The backup quarterback is the best player on the team. Remember last year, we wanted to see Wimbush. There was calls about, let's bring in Wimbush. Wimbush is starting, and now there's still people out there saying, let's bring in Ian Book.
Yeah.
And if Ian Book would come in, then if Ian Book starts, the best quarterback on Notre Dame's roster will be Avery Davis.
Okay, wide receivers, not a whole lot new there, but do you expect to see Steverson on Saturday?
Yeah, well, I've had to change my tune now. He did play last week, so... Yeah, I think he'll get some reps Saturday.
I do hope that they force him the ball because I think he needs a little bit of something to get him started. Kind of like we saw Chase Claypool, Fink, and even Equanimeous St. Brown. I mean, he started out hot in the beginning of the year and then had a slump. But you almost need to kind of force feed these guys to get them going. It seems because all of them have struggled with dropping. The football, maybe not EQ, not as much as the other guys, but definitely those other guys. And now they've been a lot more consistent, especially Chase Claypool. I think has probably made the biggest strides from the wide receiver group as far as from how he looked to start the year to where he was last week.
Yeah.
Running backs, you mentioned already that they're all healthy, all good to go. Yeah, hopefully, again, it'd be great. I'd love to see Deion McIntosh lead the team in carries again. That'd be a good sign. Although it would be nice to see maybe Dexter and Tony Jones Jr. to get some carries too. But I would love, hopefully, Josh Adams can play for a half and then sit the second half. I have a feeling it might take a little bit longer than that to put this team away, but I don't think it'll take. I don't think it'll be going deep into the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like they're good to go, and it also sounds like they have five running backs now.
And then the tight ends. Anything to that you wanted to mention about them?
No, not really. The only time Alize was mentioned, Brian Kelly was asked about, obviously, Nico Fertitta and Alize Mack, you know, being from Vegas and everything that happened out there this weekend. He said they were pretty sullen. You know, they knew some people from there. So that might be on their mind, but that might motivate them. You know, you see guys dedicate game. I don't know if they will. I'm just saying, you know, they're playing for their family and their friends back home. And yeah, that's about the only thing we heard from.
And then the offensive line, I don't think there's anything really new there, except there was one thing. I believe it was Greer Martini was talking a little bit about leadership, and the captains took tests to see what some of their strengths were and some of their weaknesses were as leaders. And then he said for himself, he's not the kind of guy that would get up in front of the whole group and get people going. He's more relational, one-on-one type of a leader. And then he was asked, well, who's the guy that would stand up and smash a chair or get loud in front of the team? And he said that Quentin Nelson and Niles Morgan would be those two guys. So that's all I've got for the offensive line.
Well, Quentin Nelson is an honest guy, so he'll say it exactly like it is.
But he's smashing chairs.
It is interesting that he mentioned that, because it sounded like Quentin Nelson wasn't that guy, but he's kind of stepped up and become that leader. But
and anything else? I think we covered all the offensive players.
Yeah.
All right, defense. Defensive line. Depth chart-wise looks pretty much the same. I think we'll continue to see some more Khalid Kareem. Did you ever figure out what the proper way?
I didn't go.
We'll probably. I do expect we'll see more of him. And
Brian Kelly talked a little bit about Jonathan Bonner. He said the one thing he can, like, he's really stepped up his game. The one thing he can still improve is his football instincts. He mentioned that he kind of loses, you know, where he's at on the field. So just some of his football instincts, but I think that'll come with, you know, just more playing time. But we've seen what he can do. It's not like he's jumping out at you, making all these plays, but he's doing what he needs to do.
And then linebackers, both Greer and Niles Morgan did the player interviews earlier today on Wednesday. I didn't really have anything for those guys.
No, the good, I was throwing much on some of these, and that's, you can look at it as a good thing, because there's no injuries to report. There's, you know, no crazy stuff going on. Notre Dame's been playing great, and so just expect to see more of the same.
And the defensive backs, Brian Kelly did mention with the safeties that one reason that they held out Studstill, who was about 80% against Miami of Ohio, they held him out because they wanted four safeties to be able to go against North Carolina. And so Devin Studstill, he's good to go, and he'll be playing a lot on Saturday, I'm sure.
Yeah, and DJ Morgan was another guy Brian Kelly talked about. He was asked about him, you know, because he did play quite a bit more last week. And he just said he's a smart football player, knows the defense, and the coaches trust him. He said he can work on his strength and speed, but he is a guy that knows what's going on, and the coaches trust him. And that's obviously a huge thing for Brian Kelly this year, because if they don't trust you, you're not going to be out there at all.
Brian Kelly answered a question about coverage that the or techniques that the cornerbacks are supposed to use when they're covering wide receivers, and it, the question was about turning around and looking for the football.
Yeah,
and he did say when they're off coverage, they're supposed to stay on top of the receiver and play the ball. But when they're playing press, they're supposed to stay in their back pocket and play the receiver. And clearly, it's definitely tough to do either. It's tough to be a cornerback. It's the bottom line. And I think there's a lot of good things that we've seen this year compared to where the cornerbacks were at last year. But I guess that's something I'll be watching for more closely. If they are playing off coverage, watching if that cornerback is staying on top of the receiver or if he's getting beat. And then the other, if they're playing press, you know, how tightly do they cover and are they playing the wide receiver tight enough and going off of how the wide receiver's reactions to either knocking the ball down or ripping it out as they're trying to make a catch. But Brian Kelly seemed, I mean, the question was mostly directed at Nick Watkins, but Brian Kelly seemed pretty pleased, I thought, with what Nick was doing so far.
He's pretty pleased about a lot of things on this team right now.
Hey, for good reason.
His tone is definitely different than it was last year, and he very readily admits that he made mistakes last year. I doubt that would be the case if they wouldn't be 4-1.
Yeah.
But, he has good reason. Notre Dame is putting away teams. They're not just beating them, playing down to the opponent. They're doing what they need. They're taking care of business and moving on to the next game and doing it again.
On special teams, we've got Justin Yoon marked as both the field goal kicker and the place kicker.
And it's October now. He's not going to miss.
Randall, if only I could be as optimistic as you.
I'm going by stats. It's all in the numbers.
And nothing else, nothing has changed there in the special teams depth chart. All right, you ready to talk about how we expect the game to go and score prediction?
Yes, I am.
All right, well, the game started out at 17 points. At least that was the earliest that I had seen it. Now it's at 14 points according to ESPN. I do think Notre Dame will cover the spread this week, and I don't think it matters. As far as covering the spread, I don't think it matters if it's Ian Book or Brandon Wimbush, but the team is better with Brandon Wimbush. I think Notre Dame is going to have a lot of success running the football, and North Carolina is going to they need to stop Notre Dame from running the football. I mean, if they don't, then it's definitely going to be – their only hope is that Notre Dame makes mistakes in the passing game, and that North Carolina can try to force Notre Dame to pass the football. And I don't think that they're going to have a lot of success doing that. I do think Notre Dame is going to have success running the football, but they will take some shots as well in the passing game just because of what North Carolina is trying to do. I think it's probably going to be close, maybe up until middle of the third quarter, but Notre Dame pulls away. And part of it is just this team has played well for the majority of their games, but then they either make a mistake, their quarterback has made some mistakes towards the end of the games, but they just seem that they can't finish games. Kind of like Notre Dame was, you know, not so long ago. But I do think Notre Dame ends up winning this game soundly, and I'm just writing down my final numbers here. Usually I'm the one that's not so optimistic, but I'm going pretty...
So that's scared. Should we be scared?
You should be scared. I think Notre Dame wins this one 45-22.
So Notre Dame allows an opponent to score more than 20 points for the first time.
They allow more than 20 points for the first time, but they easily cover the spread.
Wow. Like you said, Notre Dame is going to want to run the ball, and they're going to do it. I think they're going to have a lot of success doing it. I think this game will be done earlier than what you do. What did you say, the third quarter?
Yeah, middle of the third.
No, they're going to come out just like they have and start fast and put North Carolina on their heels. I think they'll quickly get the lead and we won't see that much of Brandon Wimber. I think he'll play, but then come out of the game fairly early. Yeah, Notre Dame's just going to run the ball. They're just going to run all over them. And then
Score prediction? Okay, go ahead.
Then on defense, I think Notre Dame will do good. They're not going to. They're not going to allow opponent to go over 20 points.
Okay. Nope.
There's maybe if it was, it's going to take a more balanced offense to do that against Notre Dame, and the Tar Heels just haven't had quite that success. And so my final prediction is Notre Dame 38-17. So I do think offense is going to. I predicted 38 because we kind of saw what happened last week. You know, they were trying out different things. Then the backups came in, and I do think we'll see Ian Book earlier than what we would have if Brandon Wimbush was 100%. So I do think the score will be a little bit lower. So I'm going 38-17.
All right, there you have it. 45-22 and 38-17. Be sure to tweet out your score prediction for a chance to win. The winner will get 1 pound of free coffee from MainStreetRoasters.com. Coffee that is roasted fresh here in Napanee, here in northern Indiana. A place that I visit almost every day. At least 3 times a week. I guess it's every other day.
Every morning I stop in and get my coffee. So,
Yeah, you have a chance to win some if you're good at predicting scores. MainStreetRoasters.com. Okay, Randall, anything else before we wrap this up?
I don't think so. The weather's actually supposed to be nice, so it won't be like the last game in North Carolina in the monsoon or that flood that Notre Dame played in. Puddles of water. That's horrible. It is supposed to be nice, sunny, and 83 degrees, what the prediction is right now. But it is the weather that can all change tomorrow, or the prediction can, so...
We're going to try to do another live thread for the game, or a game thread, I mean, over on the forums, forums.irishsportstalk.net. I will be on a motorcycle trip, but I will be watching the game, so I might be a little bit limited in the tech that I have with me, but I will still be have my phone, and we'll be able to participate in the chat.
Yes, definitely.
So... Yeah, I'm excited about this. Hopefully Brandon is 100% ready to go, but if not, I'm not too concerned about this matchup. And then we've got a bye week.
Yeah, I was going to say enjoy the game because we have a bye week and things will get pretty boring. But Notre Dame will – the good thing is they'll be coming out of here 5-1. The players can all heal up. We're getting a little cocky now.
I know, but who would have thought – let's just keep on going. Like every Notre Dame fan would have taken Notre Dame coming into the bye week at 5-1 with a 1-point loss to a top 10 team. Everyone would have taken that.
Yeah.
So let's win this game, but then after that, let's be grateful for where Notre Dame is at.
Exactly.
All right. Thank you guys for listening, and until next time, go Irish.
Go Irish.